there. I'm board-certified professional organizer Kathy Burns. I'm really glad you're here. This podcast is designed for busy entrepreneurs just like you who want to take better control of your business and move forward with less stress and more success. If this is your first time listening, then thanks for coming. The Organize Energize podcast is produced for your enjoyment, and show notes are found at thepodcast.organizeandenergize.com. Come back often and feel free to add this podcast to your favorite RSS feed or iTunes. You can also follow me on Twitter at Organize Energy and Facebook. All links are in the show notes. Now let's get into the show. Hi, everyone. Thanks for joining me on the Organize and Energize podcast. Today, we have a treat. We're going to speak with Jennifer Huff, and she's the number one international best-selling author of Unstuck, The Physics of Getting Out of Your Own Way. Yeah, perfect for this podcast. She's the CEO of The Wide Awakening and an expert in scientuality, bridging the gap between science and spirituality, helping visionary leaders find meaning and fulfillment in life. Her gift of holographic vision allows her to see what's in your way so you can fully love your life. You're going to love Jennifer Huff. She's a doll. And we're going to talk about helping you embody the thriving operating system that you have so that you can live in the flow. She's spoken on stages, radio, television, stations worldwide. And I'm just really honored to have her on the show. You're going to love her. She is awesome. So let's get going and talk to Jennifer. Everyone, we are back and we are with Jennifer Huff, and we're going to talk about scientuality, which is totally up my league. I love science. I love spirituality. We're going to put it all together and say yeah to that. So welcome, Jennifer.
I'm so excited to be here, Kathy. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. We're going to have a good conversation. So talk to me about this science, religion. How did it all culminate as something that was a big part of your life? What's the backstory about you, Jennifer? Let's hear it.
Well, the backstory is this, basically that in my confirmation class, I didn't believe the minister that was teaching me. And bless all sorts of great truths within every religion. And they seem to have all of those truths in common, right? And so then I started, I had a teacher in grade 12, and then in Canada, there was also a grade 13, believe it or not. And my physics teacher was named Dr. Koja. He was from Nigeria. I loved him, big round dude. And he got me very excited about the laws of physics. So I started asking about spirituality in the when I was 12 or in grade 12 or 13. And it shifted my perspective, not that I would believe physics over spirituality, because even if you're religious, it doesn't necessarily make you spiritual if you're following the dogma rather than your heart. Your heart meaning what I call the God's megaphone, basically. And so what ended up happening is I wanted to know how the world works, how everything works, how some people are in flow and some people aren't. Why does everything come to some people? Why is it easy for some people? And why is it so hard for other people? And I wanted to know the science of it. And so I have, Kathy, honestly, there are so many stories I could tell you, but the kickoff story that really, I ran the largest holistic nutrition practice in Canada. Before that, I was an economist. I was an economist who got sick, who studied nutrition.
Interesting.
My practice grew really big because I understood business already, right? I worked for a big multinational. So I was only studying nutrition, but people were asking me, what happened to you? So my start was through health and biology. But I noticed as I studied biophysics, in other words, how we plug into the smallest particles of us, including our thoughts, and how that all affects our biochemistry. Mm. As I did that, I reversed the health issues that I had studied, you know, that were the reason that I studied nutrition, which were depression, lack of energy, all sorts of stuff. And in the end, what happened is that I noticed that my life became very alchemical, and I started to be able to answer the question, how do things just come to people? because as I changed my mind, my beliefs, my understanding of life, every change resulted in more openings of abundance. And I didn't want it just to be some fluffy nebulous, because I'm not really a fluffy nebulous person. I'm like very, very practical. So as I became more and more practical with stuff, I wanted systems. I wanted to know how physics works. Why do some people thrive? And my definition of thriving is everything's coming to you rather than you having to go after it. So why are some people living in that amount of overflow? And why are some people just struggling? Everything's a struggle. And so I developed the Thriving Operating System, which is a combination of a connection to the reason why we're alive, I would say spirituality in that sense, and the science of it. Like, what are the physics of that that we can count on so that everyone can use this information? It makes sense. It's practical. So that's really where I came at it from. And I can tell you stories and stories of just the miraculous, like over the top miracles. And one of them, it's so funny because I'm full circling it right now. One of them happened in Albany, New York, and I just flew in through Albany, New York. So it's a real full circle of one of those miracles where I ended up getting a first class seat with someone else's dog in my lap while my original seat was a middle seat. I'm 5'10". Sitting in the middle seat is big no-no. And the way it happened, where someone just gifted me their first class seat and it happened to be the seat beside the dog that I noticed when I got on the plane. And I'm like, how did that happen? Because that falls into the category of you can't make this stuff up. Like, there must be a science of this.
Right.
So from then forward, I'm like, I want to live in that much flow. And I want to show other people how to do that.
Okay. Well, you make it sound so simple, Jennifer.
Yeah,
okay.
No.
No, change your thoughts, change your mind. It's been going through my brain like for 2 weeks. Change your thoughts, change your mind. Yeah, change your life. And so you started with health issues, and then you started developing things that would help your body integrate and feel better. And then you started having aha moments around that.
Right. But lots of people do that stuff. Here's the distinction between what we do. I mean, everybody freaking does that. Change your thoughts and change your life.
Right. Right.
Like, oh, whatever. I mean, it's everywhere.
Yeah.
That is not what we do.
Okay. Let's hear it.
Right. Dum, dum, dum.
Dum, ba, dum, bum.
Exactly. So we're not all about changing your thoughts so you can change your life. Well, we are in a way. But if you change your thoughts, you can imagine that a group of thoughts equals a belief. So then everyone went for change your belief and change your life. And I thought, I could work on beliefs from past lives until the cows come home. I could do this just like I could cleanse my body as a nutritionist until I could restrict every food. But then I'd be so stressed out. I'd be the number one cause of disease is stress. So now, right? So there has to be another way. If there is an infinite universe and I'm a child of that infinite wisdom, then there is no friggin' way that it has to be that hard. Yeah. So I asked the question. Life is about asking really good questions. And the question was, how do I change thousands of beliefs at a time?
Hmm.
How can I change my entire way of operating so that then my beliefs just don't make sense to me anymore, the ones that are stopping me? And such that thoughts are like at tens of thousands at a time, because the thoughts come from what you believe, right? So right. What happened was I basically realized that when you put a bunch of beliefs together, you get a paradigm. And I thought, how do you change the paradigm? Can I give an example?
Like a do.
Yeah. So for instance, there's a paradigm about being a woman in North America. The paradigm about being a woman in North America is kind of like, maybe in the background, it's a little bit harder because you're a woman. Maybe, you know, you get the extra degree. Maybe But you might have kids, you might not, but mostly you might, and it's a good thing to get married. And there's a whole paradigm that's built on different religions and all sorts of stuff. Now, the beliefs about being a woman is it's not good to be, you know, if you're going to show up in a job and it's already hard, then you got to look good. You got to feel good. You got to be strong. You got to be able to do a lot of stuff to be able to manage what's at home and what's blah, 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 blah. There's a lot of carrying going on. And, you know, then on top of it all, you have to be a good person because a virtuous woman is more valuable and all this kind of stuff. And then there's thoughts that we have like, oh my God, you know, these clothes don't look good on me. Oh my gosh, I got to go work out at the gym. You see, paradigm, belief, thoughts.
Stop for one sec. You said there's a lot of carrying going on. And I thought that was really good as opposed to caring. You know,
yes.
Carrying a lot of things. Okay, continue. Because I thought that
we carry, mean we worry about a lot of people and a lot of things. And because we have an overseeing brain, a general manager of the universe brain, we can see a lot, unlike a man's brain tends to be. We can't generalize on anyone because some women are very laser beam. But men are more laser beam and get her done, right? And women have that I can see the whole picture thing going on.
Yeah. Yeah.
So how do you change the paradigm? Well, I started studying the laws of physics. I started studying where we came from. I started studying the fact that the scientific fact that in order for the equation to work in the universe that Einstein was studying, that now Nassim Harriman has resolved, at the basis of your, like actually in you, at the basis of your atoms, right? Before we get to subatomic quantum particles, like at the basis of your atoms, the 3D particle of your atoms, trillions of those, oh, well, actually more than that, has to be in your proton, there has to be the actual world of the possibility of the universe itself. So in other words, imagine that there is a vacuum there that contains all possibility exactly the same as the universe. So here you are, and we mostly don't connect to that because we live our lives up here.
Right, right. It's all about what we see.
So I thought to myself, if I lived my life actually as a divine child of that, so how do I do that? How do you actually activate that? Then it would transcend, I would be disinterested in the belief systems about the things that confined me as a woman, or as a human being for that matter, as a woman, and totally therefore interested in the patterns that just are, even when you were saying them, they sound like baloney. And how you know from a subatomic scale whether you're on track with a thriving operating system, with that you've transcended the density and the paradigms and the confines of all the shoulds, musts, and have to's of society. How you know, and I know you know this, is that you feel expansive. It's actually a feeling within your body.
Unlimited.
Right. As opposed to contractive. And when you say unlimited, yes, but imagine that there's actually a physical feeling. You can actually use your cells to tell whether you are contractive or expansive, but we don't go to our cells. What we do is we compare what we think and our judgments based on what we're afraid of to the current situation, and then it activates a whole biochemistry in the body that keeps you away from ever being present to the level of miraculous that I'm talking about. So what I'm talking about, because I was taking, you know, 25 years, 30 years ago, I probably took Landmark and just classes and courses and classes and things, everything to try to fix myself. And at some point I'm like, what if I don't need fixing? What if I could just jump into a paradigm that's called, I want to go direct with consciousness and have everything come to me. Not like I don't do work, not like I'm sitting on a lawn chair drinking mojito, because we're all creators, right? But in fact, to have a great life, it has to be fun to create. But when you've got all sorts of shoulds, musts, and have to's, everything feels hard and confined and all that kind of stuff. So this is the shift. This it is a quantum leap from what most people are taught. It is not talking about beliefs. I'm not interested in talking about beliefs. It's too slow. I am like the efficiency, productivity, just like, I'm just a ferret for that stuff, right? It's like, I don't want anything to take extra time. So that's how it was birthed. I just became disinterested in endlessly looking at limiting beliefs. Right. I just wanted to shift the entire way I plugged into life. I didn't want to plug into life like everybody.
Well, and whatever you look at expands. So why look at limiting beliefs, right? You're going to be limited looking at limiting beliefs.
Well, that's what analysis does. We endlessly analyze how come we're stuck, but it never gets us to thriving. I mean, if you will find more. You will always find more because consciousness, the laws of physics say, as long as you're focused in on what you're trying to get out of your own way about, you actually never are living out of your own way. We have this erroneous, crazy ass belief that somehow if I analyze the living daylights out of everything that's wrong with me and go to enough people to fix this or that and get energy work and do this and that and go to enough consultants and counselors and all that kind of, that eventually the laws of physics say exactly the opposite. No, work with people that teach you how to expand into all of who you are. And from that higher perspective and that higher frequency, for me, it's the greater view of how the laws that actually govern existence work. From that greater view, you can look back at your life and you can look back at all the things that have been perceptively confining you, just because you thought so. And all of a sudden, the reperception of it from the higher view, seeing it from the bigger picture, that reperception will actually change your entire past. But the focus isn't changing your past first. It's actually getting yourself to the frequency where you can do that.
And I think getting to the frequency, you said something that's interesting. What if I don't need fixing, right? What if I am perfect, whole, and complete at the basis of who I am?
Well, here's a concept shift right here. What if you're not a you? What if you're not a static you? Right? What if you are actually a forward trajectory on purpose? What if your existence is not a like Kathy, or it's not like a static Jennifer? What if when we talk about you, all a you is an intention to create upon creation in ways that never have been imagined, that's a forward trajectory filled with possibilities and choice points that would leave this world better than it was than when you came. And before you came, you knew you would do that. And what if your life, the thing you call you, is actually the evolution of a soul rather than a static accomplishment factory? And so all of a sudden what happens is this world becomes a playing field. It becomes a playing field for creativity and co-creativity with people you love and adore, right? So, and how do we do that? Because we don't know how to do that. We've been taught that this is a world where it's dog eat dog. You have to work hard. You know, everything's a competition. You certainly don't collaborate that much. And if you do collaborate, you have to really trust them and get everything, all the T's, the legal documents and everything, because you never know. Instead of actually following how physics works. And it's, as you know, it is just astounding. And there are tenets to the thriving operating system. We all have superpowers that allow us to live both in the land of our greater wisdom and on the earth, and not in a woo way, in a very pragmatic way. I have a 7-figure business. So it's, you know, I didn't do that being woo woo. I did it being on the planet and bringing through the laws of physics so that I could do that. And everyone can do it. That's a cool thing. It's like an even playing field. That's so great.
Yeah. We all have the ability to do it if we get out of our own way, I suppose. And so you're with the idea of that we're individuations of consciousness there. Yes. To expand consciousness.
Absolutely. Yep.
Yeah. And I think that's helpful to know that we are just the creator to it for expansion.
But that's why we don't need fixing. Because the original question is, why do you need fixing? Well, you don't need fixing because literally it's like, I was such a perfectionist before, right? I am totally not that anymore because in understanding ourselves as a trajectory of creativity on whatever subject we want to be creative about, multiple ones in a day, if you want, what happens is if this isn't a perfection-based world, the only perfection is that we're creators. It means, just think of what creativity or creation, fingers of the hand of God means, fingers of the hand of creation means. It means that we have access to the resources of the infinite, which make up 99.139% of us, but we're here down in the 0.0001 of the, you know, we're focusing all that metaphysical stuff through this little physical body and we're creating in the physical. So imagine that everything we're creating upon existed in another form before. We got the inspiration or the catalyst from something that was before, meaning it wasn't perfect then. And then we created upon it. And then someone later, it's like, just think of how we communicated with tin cans and wires, you know, and then we had a telephone and then we had a cell phone. And then we had a way better cell phone, you know? And so everything is being created. That is the format. So literally the fabric of the reason we feel bad when we try to fix ourselves is because the way consciousness tells us that we're going the wrong way is that contractive feeling of like, oh, I broke it. Look, I did it wrong again. I just had someone I was talking to about a business yesterday that was a client and she's doing things all this other person's way. And I'm like, dude, that's not your way. Shit, but it works for them. And I'm like, first of all, you're a woman, he's a man. Second of all, you're a total sensitive, creative, holy cow, expansive being. And you need very few technical systems, but enough to channel that magical nature of yours to be able to land it in clients, right? And we're just making a, you know, we just keep upgrading the cell phone. So yeah, there's nothing ever, we're creators. It's in the design that things wouldn't be optimized because how can you create unless if everything was perfect, you'd never create anything, right? So
you can't get it wrong and it's never done, right?
That's exactly it. And thank you, Abraham.
Yeah, because we have all the judgment about things. Oh, but it could have been better. Well, yeah. So do it better. Keep doing it better. And someone else is going to do it better after you. And it's just going to get better and better and better.
You're going to love this. So can I say my dad's favorite saying?
Yes.
It's terrible. I'm just warning you. And if
I can't put my seatbelt.
Okay. And if my aunt had balls, she'd be my uncle. No judgment. That would be perfectly fine. But I'm just telling you, it's like, yeah, it should have been better. It could have been better.
Yeah. Yeah. I get
it. Yeah. But it wasn't. You know? So yes. Yeah.
All right. So we've been talking a lot about ethereal things. Let's do something practical here. We got to give a practical step one. What are you going to do, Jennifer? What to the people that are like, I am so attracted to this information. I want to get it. I don't quite get it. What can I do? What's step one?
Step one is being willing. So I'm going to give a practical step, but the intention of this step is to be able to be open to getting non-linear results. In other words, absolutely have in mind what you want in 3D. That's great. So it's as though you do a vision board, right? And on the vision board, you have all these very pragmatic things. But what I'm saying is only make those pragmatic things and those words and pictures that you want or the business plan. But the last third of the business plan on every page has to say or better. So what we wanted to do is we want to open to or better. So every vision board you have on the back of the vision board, put or better. Or if you have a business plan, put or better on the back of all the pages. One way to start making that real in your life, okay, is to get a journal and call it your evidence journal. Mm-hmm. And I call it the or better evidence journal. Love every it. Day, collect at least three results that you got that were not based on your intention. They were different, more efficient, more productive, more fun, more delighting, more whatever. And so it's an evidence journal every night before you go to bed. And that way, when you let go of your consciousness, the state you go to bed in, because you will wake up in the same state, is in the expectation of or betters.
Mm-hmm.
Non-linear results. So it's opening the consciousness to non-linear results.
Absolutely love that. You know, when we move, it's always like, it's going to be this much or more. It's going to be this much
there
or better.
Go. Yep.
This much and more, this much and more. Is our mantra. And I find that when my husband and I put both of our minds together on that same path, it just magnifies faster.
It's crazy, right? When Adam and I are aligned, it's just, I'm like, this is so good, you know? So, yeah.
Well, thank you for that good tip. So everybody go out there and try it. And I love the fact that it's not a gratitude journal. You know, it's just like, this isn't your evidential journal.
Yes.
What actually physically happened to you.
Yep.
Because I think sometimes I love gratitude journals too. There's no doubt about it, but being grateful is kind of like a yearning. And I think evidential is, you know, this is what really happened. We've been manifesting quarters lately. So it's like, okay, let's see how many quarters we can find that are just there presenting themselves to us, you know, just simple things like that. And then that's evidence that yes, the universe is responding. The universe is working through us and as us.
And the thing is, the more you collect evidence, so, you know, there's so much talk about manifestation out there. And not that that's not fun, but your whole life is a manifestation. Everything's a manifestation. You're never not manifesting something.
Right.
So for me, intentionality around specifics, it's like I love to be, you know, the particles of physics that exist out there have access to all the resources of everything that exists, scientifically speaking. So when you're looking for or betters, that means that the 99.139% are now in a co-conspiracy for the miraculous for you. And when you're just interested in having an intention and then having it happen the way you intended, that's called surviving better than most people. I'm not interested in surviving better. I'm interested in thriving and actually living in overflow. And that I want to know that I've manifested something only by the fact that I didn't even intend it. And it's far better than what I would have imagined anyways.
Yes. And that's how it works, I've found.
Yes, it can.
Yeah,
it can, but we have to understand there's survival, there's surviving better, which is intention manifestation. And then there's thriving, which is really about not even basically living in the expectation that it will always, you can't do this mentally, that it will always be better. It's an experiential journey to get yourself to the place to be that different. I mean, that was my whole scientific study, right? How do you get to the place where you live in overflow? Because I wasn't. I was micromanaging and controlling everything and trying to get it perfect.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so, perfection is overrated anyhow.
We are, you know, can't be perfect because literally you as an entity are a trajectory. You're not a static thing.
Yeah. Wow. Well, I'm skipping all my questions that I normally ask people because
I know what's that about?
This is my wheelhouse, girlfriend. We are like so on in tune that, you know, we just have to have this great conversation. And I think anybody who ends up listening to it is going to be the person that really wants to hear this kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it's all about. So I very much appreciate the fact that you're practical.
Yes.
Tactical.
Yes. And,
you know, not the woo-woo thing, that you've actually, you know, figured this out from a scientific perspective.
Yes. Yeah. And from that scientific perspective, what's the most efficient, pragmatic way to have the experiences that allow you to permanently change your relationship to life, rather than doing exercises to shift your beliefs. Your beliefs can shift much more efficiently when you have experiences that are irrefutably evidence that life is, you know, life is meant to be about. God, I remember just watching, Kathy, watching people who would live in overflow, not in all ways, but in some ways. And my curiosity was always, how did I know a woman who she was like 65 years old and I was 40. So I thought she was ancient. Haha. And right. And I remember being 40 years old and watching her. And this woman had so many things come to her. People offer her houses, places to stay. She lived in Hawaii for a year for nothing. Her business was, she always had more than enough money. And it was a little too, that wasn't my way of living. But I also knew her to be sort of a great example of how everything can come to you. I just wanted to know the science of that. Like, no matter what kind of way we want to live, whether we're the CEO of a company, which I work with many of those too, or whether you're just, you know, that woman, what is that? Yeah. Are some people just lucky? No. So, yeah.
Yeah. Interesting. Is there anything that you want to talk about that we haven't really discussed? Any points to make, any stories you want to tell, or anything as we do a wrap?
I would say that, so for the past year, my husband has had a lot going on. He wasn't able to walk for a month, and I was taking care of him. So imagine taking care of a house, taking care of every meal, shopping, everything. First of all, it certainly got me really efficient, even more. And you know, I love efficiency. So I had to be efficient about the house, about how it got taken care of, about how groceries, everything. And then I'm the president of a company. So I had to run that as well. And I am so feeling entirely blessed that I know what I know. The amount of love that came my way, and practical love, like meals, like people offering to set up an oxygen tank for us, like and complete strangers. My husband was told that he probably wouldn't walk normally again, and my husband is walking normally again, and he's walking it 5 months earlier than they said he would. And this is, and I kept my sanity, so, which is a whole other thing, but it's not just keeping my sanity would have been surviving better.
Right.
But my business actually grew through all of that, Kathy. And it wasn't because I was right. And so I'm not special. You know, I am not some special person. I was just deeply curious, and I have a deep, deep passion for productivity and efficiency and for clarity, which is why, you know, a whole other aspect is being able to holographically see people. But that's beside the point. You know, it's kind of like this operating system works for everybody. So for me, ask the right question. And the right question is not, how do I fix myself? How do I stop myself from being broken? It's, how do I actually learn to thrive so that in my thriving, I can look back at everything that happened and re-perceive the whole hundreds of beliefs at a time and be free. And so it's not spiritually bypassing, because if it's really meant to be looked at, you will be dogged by it, and you will have, there's all sorts of things I've had to look at. But there are so many things that can just move through in the grace of just being willing to be given to at that level. So, yeah. So practicalities, systems I put in place that came to me because of other people trying to help and because of myself doing my little investigative stuff, systems, 3D systems, and just being a person. And this is a big one for me because I ran on independence disease for a long time. Right?
Yeah.
The receptivity factor is shifting because a thriving operating system requires a beingness shift in our degree of receptivity. So yeah. So that's what I would say.
Love that. Okay. So our guests will typically have something that they will offer the audience. So anybody who's intrigued and wants to follow up with you or learn more from you, how can they get in touch? And is there anything that you would like to offer them as a jumpstart?
Oh, jumpstart for sure. So there is an experience that we take people on, experiential. It's conversations that marry the left brain and the right brain. So it's one of those quantum leapy things rather than just having an aha, right? So it's 10 days of that on
we froze up. Let's see. I don't think it's me. I know Jennifer is in a location that is a little bit different than her usual location. Here we go. Jennifer, you had frozen up for a second. So let's go again with that.
Oh, sorry. So there's something called 10 days of getting unstuck. And okay. Basically it's a 10 day, less than 10 minutes every time, experiential videos that allow you to marry your left brain and your right brain and make those quantum leaps that cause a thriving leap rather than just a surviving better leap. So it's a really cool thing that we did. And basically they can just find it at thewideawakening.com/signup. And you, for 10 days, you'll get that. And if someone really resonates with me, in all honesty, Kathy, I just love doing discovery calls. I'm happy to look at people's holographic universe and where they're stuck for a half an hour, but only if you really authentically want to have a conversation in how I can work with you. And so you can just email me directly with discovery call in the subject line. My email is vitalyou@gmail.com. That's my personal email. I'm so happy to have those conversations.
Perfect. That's great. And we'll put those down in the show notes as well. Actually, I don't think I'll put the email in the show notes, but I'll put the website in the show notes. And anybody who's...
I can give you the link for making a discovery call.
Yeah. Perfect. That is fantastic. Well, I really appreciate this time. You know, we're so in sync with each other, which is why we resonated immediately when we met each other last year. And this is a great interview. I really appreciate your time. And I hope everyone out there enjoyed this. Join me next week for our next guest. But meanwhile, definitely check out Jennifer Huff. You will expand your horizons and expand your life and learn how to thrive. That's what it's all about. Let's all thrive together.
Come on now. Overflow. Hello.
Overflow. Hello. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Kathy. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely.
Hey, thanks for listening to this podcast. I hope you enjoyed this episode. And if you want to hear more, feel free to subscribe on the platform of your choice. Also, if you feel so inclined, I would truly appreciate a good rating from you to me. Have a stellar day.